Welcome to the Employer Chronicles with your hosts, Rick Grimaldi and Laurie Armstrong Halber, attorneys at Fisher Phillips, specializing in management, labor, and employment law. The opinions expressed on this program are solely that of the hosts. This is not legal advice. If you do want legal advice, please consult with a lawyer. Now, here's Rick and Laurie.
So immigration reform has long been a divisive issue. Obviously, politicians, advocacy groups, everyone seems to be fighting over whether we should grant legal status to the some 11 million undocumented immigrants that are currently in the United States. And of course, in the new administration, that has become a cornerstone of not only its policies, but certainly the cornerstone of many of the statements that have come out of the White House. And it's interesting because while it is one of those issues that the public seems to latch onto, and it's a real red meat issue for many, people don't realize, I think, unless they stop and really consider the possibility that strict immigration reform, which could lead to the deportation, I don't think realistically, but the attempts to deport 11 million people will absolutely have an impact on the economy and, in particular, employers.
Well, it's funny because, you know, economists disagree on most everything, right? But immigration is not one of those things. They almost universally, whether from the left or the right, see immigration as a net benefit to the economy. And, you know, they'll cite to things from population growth to increased tax receipts to the diversity of people and ideas. And we're seeing people who don't comment normally in this area make comments, including, for example, the Federal Reserve Chair, who came out speaking about the impact of labor growth and that it's been slowing in the U.S. It's one of several reasons, along with the slope of productivity growth, for the fact that our economy has been growing at a slow pace, saying that immigration has been an important source of labor growth, and the slowing the pace of immigration would slow the growth rate of the economy, which sounds rather important, don't you think, Rick?
I would think it would. And it's interesting because right now the current talk out of Washington, and in particular in the administration, is really more on securing the borders, building a wall, and candidly getting rid of immigrants that are undocumented and in this country before thinking about anything else in the context of a broader immigration reform plan. And to your point, every pundit and every policymaker that's weighed in suggests that comprehensive immigration reform that would bring undocumented workers into the light, into the workplace, would benefit the economy. David Kalik, a senior fellow with the Fiscal Policy Institute, FPI, which is a nonpartisan and nonprofit research organization, suggests that you'd be allowing people to find better jobs to match their talent and capacities better and be in compliance with the law. In other words, bring them out of the shadows. Don't force them into the shadows. Get them into the workplace in a way that allows both the employees and the employer to benefit, which will ultimately benefit the economy. And by the way, reduce federal spending. Now, why do I say that? I say that because all the data right now points to an approach that is currently being undertaken in Washington that will balloon the deficit. The already exorbitant cost to enforce the borders, that would be the fence that already exists. That would be the huge numbers of ICE and Border Patrol, 5,000 plus along the border, would be doubled. It would absolutely balloon the cost. And I'm talking in the billions.
Well, let me just point out another kind of scary idea, and it's from the Center for American Progress, which admittedly is a liberal policy institute. But it estimates that a policy of mass deportation, like you were just talking about, would immediately reduce the nation's GDP by 1.4% and ultimately by 2.6%. The idea being that because capital is going to adjust downward to a reduction in labor For example, farmers would scrap or sell excess equipment per remaining worker. The long-run effects are larger and amount to two-thirds of the decline experienced during the Great Recession.
Yeah. Look, let's just do a little down and dirty math, and which is really about all I can do. So just doing some back-of-the-envelope calculations, the American Action Forum last year estimated that if you expel all the unauthorized immigrants and keep them out, you're looking at $400 billion to $600 billion to do that. Think about the cost of that and what that does to the deficit, and certainly the gross domestic product, as you talked about. We're talking about you're looking at $1 trillion. A trillion, that's with a T.
Well, let's talk about something that people might be able to visualize a little bit better than some obscene amount of money that seems almost unimaginable. So let's think about this. Immigrants are more likely than native-born Americans to start a business, all right? Think about this. 24.3% of U.S. engineering and technology startup companies and 43.9% of those based in Silicon Valley in recent years were founded by immigrants. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and I think, look, and to be realistic and to understand this, there are people, and it's really, you have to sort of put yourself in people's shoes. There are people that are out of work, and they don't understand because they believe, in fact, that, well, I'm out of work because, you know, an immigrant or an undocumented immigrant has taken my job. And that's actually a myth, in large measure.
Yeah, and it harkens back, I think, to our podcast with Michael Pearson, who was talking about the way we address education, training, and jobs in this country, and that we maybe aren't doing the best job that we can in training American students in technologies or other areas to allow them to move into business sectors, job sectors where they've not been, so that they can find employment elsewhere, i.e. the coal miner who knows nothing but mining coal. If we're not going back to coal mining, and all indications say no, we're not, then we need to retrain and find a different way for those people to work. That's the solution. Maybe not sending everybody home.
Right. And look, just as a matter of economics, it makes zero sense. Now, we'll see. All indications up to now in the first 5 weeks of the new administration are that there's really no interest in that sort of program. It is still used as a pejorative when they talk about, quote, amnesty, and that's really not the issue here.
Right.
I think we can only hope that cooler heads, and by cooler heads, I mean, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, business leaders out of places like Silicon Valley, people that rely on immigrant help to drive their businesses, will get and have the ear, if not of the president, certainly of leaders in Congress, and we will see maybe over the next year a more balanced
maybe
approach.
Comprehensive is the
but
word.
Comprehensive and balanced
yeah.
approach to immigration and immigration reform. Look, this is nothing new. If you go back two administrations to the last Republican that was in the White House, George W. Bush actually had a very common sense, comprehensive approach to immigration reform. This can be a bipartisan issue if we allow it.
Yeah, in the meantime, in the immediate future, we're already seeing impacts in certain industries, in hospitality, in farming, and in construction. And their labor is disappearing and it's having a detrimental impact. So I can only hope that if not the administration, our Congress folks start paying attention and address this sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And stay tuned, because I suspect that this is going to be a topic that we will revisit.
Well, thanks for joining our conversation today. If you'd like to talk more, check us out on the web at www.theemployerchronicles.com or join our conversation on Twitter at Employer Chronicles, CHRNCLS, and we hope to see you soon.